Welcome to the Almost Perfect Podcast, a celebration of passionate people creating dope spaces. Because, yeah, this last weekend on Sunday, I hit up the chairman for the first time since it's been reopened. And that was just an absolute treat. I watched a Kujenga because Matt Radford, who is Albany Law as well, he's been a guest on this podcast. He hit me up and was like, yo, I got a guest spot. I was like, sweet, well, I'm definitely going to take that because Jamie and I were keen to go anyway. And we did. And I've been wanting to show her the chairman for ages because she's from Cape Town and she's been in Durban for like a year and stuff. So she doesn't really know the chairman and like its long history. And I mean, I've been going there since it was literally just the one little jazz lounge. And now it's all these multiple different spaces. It's so sick, man. And yeah, she also digs like decor and chairs, and like she like knows like fuck loads about different kinds of chairs and stuff. And so does Ndabo, who is the owner of the chairman. And he's just someone who's incredibly passionate and someone who we are going to get on the podcast early next year. I chatted to him and he's very keen, because last year when we did the Point Waterfront Arts Festival, we got to use the space, we got to use the upstairs lounge, which was phenomenal. It's such a sick fucking space. Like, it's a space that you can tell is just every little touch, you know, has been thought about, has been curated, and comes from Ndabo's, like, vision. And it's been a project he's been, you know, working on for about, like, 10 years now, I think, at least that long. Like, I think the chairman's been around for longer than that. And it's in this, like, run-down building by Point Road there. But once you walk inside, you are transported into something really magnificent. It's unique. There's so much dope local art, like the books that he has there, everything, man. Like, yeah, like I say, the lights, the chairs, and the food is fucking good as well. Like, I had the pleasure last year of getting to taste some of the pizzas. Like, Ndabo was doing, like, these little private pizza tastings. And, you know, we could give criticism and tell him, like, ah, oh, you know, like, that's a little too this, a little too that. And it was awesome getting to be a part of that process. And now, yeah, they've got fucking pizzas on the menu. They've got dope pizzas. And, like, I'm not too sure what else is on the food menu, but I know pizzas are there, like, and they're fucking great. Although I think they serve breakfast and stuff as well. And Ndabo is chilling me. Come through in the day. But yeah, it was cool. Also, just getting to see him again. I haven't chatted to him for like a year since we did the Point Waterfront Arts Festival and that. And it was cool. Like, yeah, him and Jamie were just talking about the different chairs and shit like that. So it was dope. And then we got to watch Kujenga, who are fucking phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal, like, Afro jazz band. They even did like a little tribute to Ricky Rick, which was like quite moving. And the one guy's mom got up and sang, because they come, oh, well, the two guys, the brothers, their mom got up and sang because they come from a musical family. And it was like, it was packed out, man. It was super, like, I think it was like 100 people on a Sunday afternoon to watch a new, like, relatively new band. They've been around for a little while, like a couple years now. And yeah, it was just, blew me the fuck away. So if you have the opportunity to go check Kujenga, do yourself that favor. And like I said, we are going to get Ndabo on the podcast soon. He's very keen. So I'm super excited. That dude's done some cool fucking shit, man. Like, he's a renowned architect and the chairman's like a passion project of his. So that's something to look forward to. Although, yeah, we are heading to that time of year where I'm gonna slow down. I mean, fuck, this whole year has been pretty slow when it comes to interviews, and I thank you for sticking with me through it. There will be a period where it is more consistent. It's just, it has been a bit of a difficult year, like, in quite a few different ways. And yeah, like, I kind of mentioned it recently, you know, the whole imposter syndrome thing is real, and just the struggles of, like, nailing things down the internet with, you know, load shedding and everything. It's a lot, you know. There's just been a lot. And then also the financial side of everything, like, that also hasn't been the best this year. So yeah, it's been a bit of a mission, but I'm still looking forward. I'm still I've got so many people I still want to chat to, you know, and like I want to try and get the release schedule to be more consistent. But it's also known December is when, you know, the listenership drops the fuck off because people aren't necessarily going into work anymore. So they're not doing the commutes or, you know, the various things like that. This becomes a part of your little routine. I know, like, you know, my daily, I listen to multiple podcasts a day. But it's in December when I'm out and I'm jolling and I'm having a good time. Like, I'm not necessarily, yeah, keeping up with the podcasts. So, yeah, I'm probably not going to be releasing any interviews over the next month. Although I will be doing some interviews over the next month. I'm going to be heading to Joburg next week. And yeah, I've been chatting to a few people. I think I mentioned that Spook Mutombo is keen. And that's someone who I've been wanting to interview on here for a very long time. Like, I've had some cool interactions in the past, and I'm a huge, huge fan of his work. Like, just absolutely, he's one of my favorite artists, you know, and like has been since I was a young age. Very influential in my life. So I'm keen, you know, like I'm keen to do that chat. Like, it's been cool to put you on to new people. It's been cool to introduce you to, you know, various different people. But like, I think next year might be the year where I delve back into my youth and the artists who shape me and where they're at these days. You know, I wanna do a bit of that. So yeah, like that's also, I'm gonna be using this time period now, like the next couple of weeks, just to realign, just to try and like, you know, plan and focus and get things back on fucking track. Cause yeah, it's been, it feels like things have definitely gone off track. But as my years spent clubbing, going to places like Bonkers and Joe Cool's would have told me, if that train goes off the tracks, pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. the little scar version there. But yeah, it's been, other than that, it's been pretty chilled. Like, we had, obviously, the open mic gig on Wednesday at Ace's Pizza. Come on through. It's a good time. It was a bit of a smaller crowd this time than what we've been doing. Like, we've been doing some really nice crowds. And I knew it was coming at some point, and the rain didn't help us. But we still had a solid fucking audience, and I got to do about 20 minutes to close the show. Which, a lot of it worked, some of it didn't, but I got to experiment, I got to play around, I got to tell some jokes either hadn't done in a long time or just had only done once or twice. And yeah, it was cool to like basically just like dump all the notes, you know, and see what stuck. And we got people came up, chatted after the show. That's been like, I think that's been the big difference for me this year, is I've actually, because I'm not like as antagonistic and shit on stage, and I'm not as aloof and, you know, acting too cool for school, people are finding me to be a bit more approachable, and they're coming up to me after the shows and chatting about jokes and just saying, yeah, like, oh, that's very clever. Oh, the politics stuff was quite touchy, but it's, you know, I'm on your side. It's quite funny, like a lot of people, when they come and chat to me after the show, it's like they're like, I'm smart too, you know, like I got the jokes but other people didn't. And that's always a funny little thing that I notice. But yeah, it's been dope, man. Like, that has been the thing this year. I've had way more people coming and chatting to me after shows and being like, really enjoyed the show, this, that, everything else. And yeah, in the past, like, I don't know, I guess I just had a more, like, I had a more antagonistic approach and feeling towards the audience and shit. And like, I was like, you don't get me, I'm too fucking cool for this. And now I'm just like, I don't know, I feel like I've got like a genuine confidence. So I get to go on stage and just know that, yeah, I'm gonna make you laugh at some point, yeah. Like, I'm not too stressed. Like, I don't need to overcompensate for anything. I've got some good jokes. I'm a chill, fun dude. And we're gonna have some chilled fun together. And yeah, we did. If you wanna hear what some of that sounds like, by the way, I did post the set that I did like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I posted that up on patreon.com/almostperfect. So yeah, go give me a dollar a month and you can hear. I've posted a couple sets up there actually, and I'm also have been writing some things lately. I don't know if I'm going to publish them. I don't know if I'm going to share them, but if I do, it'll probably be via Patreon first, and it might also just be Patreon only. I don't know. I fucking don't know. Like, I don't know if you guys have picked that up, but I've no fucking clue what I'm doing here. And yeah, like, as I say, the imposter syndrome thing, but also sometimes I just don't know if anyone needs to read some of the things I come up with, you know? And like, I can just rant a little to myself and then just delete a half-written piece in like 3 years' time when I go back to it. Yo, there are so many unfinished things in my drafts folders, and I should probably go back into it. I was actually thinking of maybe doing an episode where I go back through my diary over this last year, or maybe I write an article about it. I haven't decided yet, but I haven't read that thing yet. I started the diary after like getting broken up with and after a long-term relationship and blah blah blah, and it's been fucking cool, man. Like, almost every day, like, I write a little bit. I wake up and like I do my yoga and my reading, and then I journal whilst listening to a new album every day. Well, not just a new album, it could be an old album, but a different album every day. And like, that's been a great fucking morning routine to have. And yeah, like, I haven't read any of it. I haven't gone back and looked at it at all. But I feel like it could be cringe, but also cathartic. I think there's definitely going to be some sections where I'm just like, fuck, what a fucking loser. What a fucking idiot. What a fucking myopic, self-involved fucking cunt. And then there's also going to be some times I'm like, hey, that's a pretty good line. I should steal that for myself. So that is something I want to do. I want to see, go through, because yeah, every now and again there's some things that I write down for myself and I'm like, huh, not bad, not too shabby, Nodge. So yeah, that might be something to look forward to. These are all possibilities. It could also, none of it could happen. Who fucking knows what the future holds? Which is funny, because I'm actually currently reading a book called Your Future Self. Who's about? Let me quickly check here quickly. But basically, the book is like it's a psychology book that delves into how we see our future selves, you know, how we see future versions of ourselves and that, and different ways to connect with that future self. And it's like, it's not a self-help book. It's literally a psychology book. It's literally like lots of just different case studies and experiments and just fuckloads of information about like, yeah, how your brain sees you in the future. And that's by Hal Hirschfeld. The full thing is Your Future Self, How to Make Tomorrow Better Today, which does sound like a self-help book, but there hasn't been like anything in it where it's like, oh, you need to do this to make your life like this. It's just presenting you with all the different information about, yeah, what happens when you see yourself in a certain way. And I would recommend you check it out, maybe. Like, I'm not, like, I've been through little phases when it comes to, like, self-help books and stuff like that. You know, I've had a few recommended to me and I've checked them out. And I find that they can be fairly useful in getting back on track with, you know, certain things if you feel like you're like just stumbling or stagnant or whatever. Like, they can be the boost you need, but I do find like a lot of like self-help is actually just self-hate, and a lot of it is, I don't know, like, I found myself doing things for the wrong reasons, you know. Like, I was working out twice a day earlier this year and shit, and like, you know, doing all kinds of things to better myself and make myself, you know, more desirable and make myself more like someone that, you know, would fit into the marketplace, whether that is literally or, you know, even just socially, you know, like just trying to do things for other people. And that's something I've really been working on a lot this year, is trying to actually do shit for myself, you know, to motivate for myself, not because I want other people to see me as a certain thing. But, you know, I do yoga because I would dig to have decent mobility when I'm 60. Like, I couldn't give a fuck if I have a six pack or not, you know, like, I really couldn't. There was a brief period where I was like trying for it, you know. My whole thing was like, I don't know if you've seen, fuck, what's the movie again, Crazy Stupid Love. I think that's it with Steve Carell and Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone. And there's the one scene where Ryan Gosling takes off his shirt and Emma Stone's character is just like, fuck, it's like you're photoshopped. And that was my goal for a brief little bit. Like, I just wanted to have that moment. But I was going through some shit, you know, having been recently dumped, and I wanted to be desirable in a physical way. When it turns out, like, most of the desire women, like, have for me comes from my internal attraction or beauty or whatever, you know? Like, turns out some people dig my personality. So I'm assuming you might be one of those people. But yeah, like, it's also kind of interesting because earlier in the year, like, I look at photos of myself and I was all, like, clean cut and, like, trying to just, you know, look younger and look more, once again, socially desirable, you know. And now I've got the mustache and, like, the long hair, and I'm just digging being a bit scruffy again, you know. It's like, it's my natural state of being. And yeah, like, I don't know, man, it's cool. Better to, like, I've been thinking a lot about this. I think it's better to look interesting than it is to look good, personally. You know, it's also why, like, because, like, I've thought lots, because I've got a receding hairline, like, basically since I was, like, 5 years old, my hairline's been receding, you know, so I've known that I'm going to eventually be bald, and I've dreaded that. I have absolutely fucking dreaded the idea of going bald. And I think it's because, like, my dad was bald, and I fucking hate that, or, and, like, you know, just got weird, like, weird associations with it. But you know, I was also thinking, like, fuck, how do I deal with it? Do I get hair transplants? Do I do all this stuff? And now I'm just like, fuck it, man. Like, whatever happens, happens. Like, however you look is how you look. And, like, you know, there's no one newer than you. Although I do get why people get hair plugs and plastic surgery and stuff like that. Because of how society rewards certain looks. Like, you know, I know that it also can creates a lot of insecurity, and it can create a negative self-image because of how the media portrays certain things and how we see ourselves, like, or we don't see ourselves reflected, and so we try to be more like the man on the cover of the magazine. But I think that's just unrealistic, and it's also kind of a waste of time unless you are a Chris Hemsworth or something like that. And even those guys will tell you they can only maintain those physiques for a brief period of time, and they're also getting paid millions of dollars to look like that, you know. So they have to train, and they don't do fuck all else. It's not like, you know, they've got other shit to do. They can just eat and work out for a couple months and then do the job and then get paid millions and millions of fucking dollars. And I'm sure that creates issues, you know, definitely probably creates body image issues for those actors. But, you know, at least they've got their piles of money to cry themselves to sleep in. The rest of us are fucking broke and looking at these guys and being like, oh, am I meant to look like that? And, nah, you're not. Like, you don't need to stress about that. And don't get me wrong, I'm not going to knock you if you are on a body transformation journey and you want to get ripped and shit like that. Go for it. That's your life. Like, you've got your motivations, your reasons for all of it. Like I'm saying, personally, I've just taken a deep look at my motivations for certain things, and I found them to be, for myself, quite unhealthy and just not a way I want to live my life. Like, I'm definitely about trying to be healthier and happier and those sorts of things, but like I say, trying to mold your body into, like, unrealistic shapes and, like, devoting immense amounts of time and mental energy and effort into these pursuits when you could be living your life, you could be pursuing other things, you could be, you know, getting enjoyment out of life. And, you know, there's also enjoyment to be had in gymming and stuff like that. Trust me, I get it. But like I'm saying, there's a line and there's a balance, I think, with all these things. I mean, I guess that's kind of the trick with all of it. Like, you gotta just find balance, and that's where I'm at. That's what I'm trying to do. I think 2023 is that year for me. It's the year where I've gone through a few different extremes. I've lost my mind a little bit, and I've been able to come back to a place that I feel quite comfortable and quite confident in myself, and I like it. So yeah, that's that, I guess. That's the podcast, which means it's time for us to do the shout outs. Now, you know the deal. Each week we give shout outs to the titular titles tier over at patreon.com/almostperfect. It's a $10 tier, it's the top tier, etc., etc. You get to pick a title, I shout you out. So shout outs to Rousseau, the storage clerk of subtle heresies in the Lesser Overberg region. Russell Grant, the Far East correspondent. Neil Green, the key grip. Karan Slemon, the almost perfect hedge fund manager. Riz Ventura, the director of purchasing. Karan Chetty, the assistant to the regional manager. Kath Jenkin, the inevitable ruler of the universe and Queen Swifty. And Stephen Olafia, the executive producer. A big thank you to Damien Roert for the bed music you hear underneath me and the banging intro you hear at the beginning of each and every single episode. And lastly, shout outs to you. I will catch you probably at Robson's tomorrow night for ATFN, probably. But if not there, then I'll catch you on the flip side.